بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم، وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. I wasn't so nervous up until now. I just met the student outside, so he told me, don't worry, there's only about 200 students here who are the future of Deen, so if you say anything wrong, they'll all go straight. And then he made me feel a little better afterwards, and he said, don't worry, it's been streamed worldwide, so it could have an effect on others as well. Allah reward him, really. Okay, so before we begin, let's just get a show of hands here. Anybody 20 and over? Let's see. Just so we can understand who we're talking to. Mulana, 20, over. Way above it. Gee. Anybody between 15 and 20? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Anybody between 12 and 15? 9. So what you told me earlier on, yeah. Okay. Anybody under 12? Okay, mashallah. So anybody under 12, you've been seated here for very, very long, mashallah. If you want to go play outside now, now's a good time to go. Right. It would be a very good idea, inshallah, if you go outside. Your age right now, this portion of your life you're in, it's a very, very valuable part of your life. You need to understand that most of us sitting here, when I said over 20, we've reached, I won't tell you my age, we've reached 40, we've reached 50, 60, 70. We wish that we could come back to your age. We wish that we could turn back time, because right now, you have probably the most energy you have in your lifetime, and you are freed from the responsibilities that you have to have later on in life. So most of us sitting here would feel, if only I could turn back time. If I had to go back, I wouldn't do this. If I could go back, I'd do this. If I could go back, I'd do this better. Why? Because sitting here, all of us who've gone, who've passed those ages, have realized that that's a molding age. If I get things right there, it actually steers me in the right direction for the rest of my life. So pay attention. Value your time. Value your time. Every second. It's like a capsule. You never get it back. They say time is money. Time is not money. Time is life. Right? Time is not money. You cannot put a value to time. Every second is a capsule that's going to Akhirah. Every second is a capsule that's going to Akhirah. What you fill in it is what you receive in the hereafter. So bear that in mind. And time flies. Time flies. So sitting here, you'll see even people who've reached 70 years of age, they can still remember what they did at the age of 4. And they'll tell you, I can remember at 4, this is what I did, and time just went like this, gone. And now I'm sitting here, 70, I'm looking at my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. So the way it went, time flies. One of my friends was telling me the other day, his uncle was naughty. He told me that his uncle says that he said time is flying so quickly now. Every time you turn around, it's Friday. It feels like a 5-time namaz. Allah forgive him, right? So, while we were here, I had a neighbor in the previous area I lived in. So, he was an older man. He was in his late 70s already, still alive, I think, a non-Muslim man. So, he told me he was born BC. So, maybe you know what BC means. Normally, it refers to before Christ. So, I asked him, what do you mean? So, he said, before computers. So, then he told me, hey, Imran. So, I'm not going to imitate his accent, right? So I'll just say it obviously. He said, hey Imran, how do you know you're getting old? So I said, I don't know, please. Tell me. So he said, you know you're getting old when you have to set a reminder to go. You know what you mean to go? I mean, number one, right? You have to set a reminder for it. And he said, how do you know you're getting older? So I said, I don't know, tell me. He said, when you're done, you forget to zip up. He said, hey Imran, how do you know you're getting even older? I said, I don't know, tell me. You hear when you forget to sit down. So, it's not a muscle of tahara, please. It's not, don't come here and go home and say, you know, we explain something about tahara, no, nothing like that, right? So, value your time. This youth of yours is something that will mold you into someone who you could be a flag bearer of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You've got responsibilities to your family, to your community, to everybody. This is the time you mold yourself. You are the West, the animal kingdom of the West will tell you that you've got one life, live it. Right? But the truth is you've only got one death and you've got one eternal life. So you've got to live for it. You've got to understand that. You've got to make the right decisions. Make the right decision at this point in time. Ask for guidance from your elders. From yesterday we heard in the Jumu'ah Bayan, from the GPS. Right? Make connection with the GPS. Not a good pious sheikh. Nowadays it has to be a genuine pious sheikh who will guide your heart. Who guide your heart to Allah Ta'ala so that the rest of your life, nobody wants to live in misery. But the minute we turn away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, our lives become miserable. So get in connection with us. We're not trying to promote the effort of Khanka, the Sawuf, or even a particular sheikh. But this is the way which things come right. Understand? So get yourself in contact, even from a very young age, with a sheikh of the Sawuf, a pious, genuine sheikh, who will be able to guide you to what's correct. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. Keep your thoughts clean. When your thoughts are clean, we've heard this before. Keep your heart clean because your thoughts generate, are emanating from your heart. And then your thoughts become intentions. Your intentions become words. Your words become actions. Your actions become character. Character defines you. Character defines you. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. Protect your heart. This Lahi Jalsa, we talk about matters of the heart. Keep your heart clean. You'll be guided through the rest of your life. I need to sit with my notes for this topic. So I need to choose my words carefully. Allah Ta'ala guide me, guide us all. Strong family units are built by strong individuals. That's why we say you need to correct yourself. You need to become strong fathers, you need to become strong husbands, you need to become strong sons, right? Because that develops a strong family unit. Strong family units develop strong neighborhoods, develop strong cities and towns, develop strong countries, develop strong societies. In our context as Muslims, a strong society is a strong ummah. We are a Muslim society is an ummah, right? The enemies have realized this and they pounced on it. So one way that they try to destroy this. See, if you want to destroy somebody, either you try to wipe them out, you eliminate them from the face of the earth, like the genocide that happened in Gaza, right, in Gaza. So you try to bomb everybody out. Whoever remains, whoever survives, and even the progeny, if they survive, they will come back for you, inshallah. Right? The second way is you make your enemy think that you are not his enemy. Where does this emanate from? So when you start to eat like them, drink like them, talk like them, dress like them, school like them, educate like them, think like them, desire like them, become like them, when the time comes to face them, you will never be able to because you think you are them. Understand? That's the second way. The heart is, this is all in the heart. The third way is you get them involved in sin. Right? Why? Because when an individual is involved in sin, when people are involved in sin, it draws the help of Allah Ta'ala away, and it draws the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala away. And it blackens the heart. It darkens the heart. Sin darkens the heart. When the heart is dark, cannot see, it becomes blind. No basirat in you, no basarat in you. The heart is blind. And when your opponent, and a blind opponent, is easily defeated. So that's what sin does to us. We become easily defeated. So Allah Ta'ala has kept the progression, the establishment of the human being, of human society, in the act of intimacy. Right? Most young ones have gone out, so we'll try to keep the choice of words decent here, inshallah. Okay, so the establishment of societies, the progression of humans, of the human race, is kept in the act of intimacy. Everybody know what I'm talking about here? Jeez. If you don't know, ask the guy next to you, right? Right. So the establishment of the family, what's required is intimacy, is the intimate act, right? You have to engage with this in your spouse. And for this, Allah Ta'ala has placed in the human being, in the man and the woman, desire. If you didn't have desire, you wouldn't then be attracted to your spouse in order for a family to come about, for children to come about. Right? But Allah Ta'ala has confined this act. Allah Ta'ala has confined this act to the bond of nikah. Right? In the bond of nikah. So that it is not, doesn't become an animalistic act. It doesn't become something that animals do. Because animals engage in this act simply for procreation. They want to have kids to carry on the species, right? This is not man. Man has confined it to the bond of, Allah Ta'ala has confined it to the bond of nikah. And Allah Ta'ala has also confined this act to nikah so that it's not merely a means of satisfaction of desire, right? This act also becomes a means of fostering love between husband and wife. We're talking in adults here, right? Everybody understands what I'm saying. Now, how do you destroy this? You introduce into the individual, you introduce into the family, you introduce into society, into the workplace, into the madaris, into the schools. Introduce everywhere a highly addictive drug, but one that's not illegal. Right? You introduce and you infect them with a contagious disease, very, very contagious disease, a very, very infectious disease, what we will know, what we will call as the pandemic. This is destroying us, it is destroying society, it's destroying humanity at this point in time. So at this point in time, for this time that I've spoken to you, since I began speaking to you, there would have been approximately 12 million people who viewed porn. Right? That was my calculation on 5 minutes, so I've been speaking to you for 10 minutes, double that. 10 minutes, 24 million people. With 67,000 site hits per minute. And that's only on the top three sites on the internet, on the top three porn sites of the internet. Within 5 minutes, 12 million, 67,000. Double that for what we've been sitting here. Right. Some claim that the porn addict or porn addiction is more dangerous than drug addiction, than narcotic addiction. Why? You see, with a drug addict, you can identify him. You can see him. Eyes give away. The eyes always tell. Check the pupils, dilated, black under the eyes. Sometimes, depending on what kind of drug, the face becomes dark. He loses weight. He starts to steal. He starts to slurs. Can't speak properly. Eyes are red at times. Right, so you can identify him. But the porn addict is John. He's James. He's Imran. He's Muslim. He's sitting in an imama in a kurta. He's hijabi, he's nitabi. Or her. Sorry, let's put it this way. She's hijabi, she's mutawi. Right? It's hidden. He's right in front of the sheikh in the khanka. He spends 4 months every year. You cannot identify him. And because he's such an embarrassing addiction, it doesn't come forward and ask for help. In this way, the porn addiction is killing us. Nobody wants to get out of it there. So, what's the effect? What happens there? You see, a drug addict, he gets used to a drug. It's used to consuming a drug. So the same drug doesn't satisfy the craving, right? This they call in terms of narcotics, chasing the dragon. Chasing the dragon. So he has to, he looks for harder drugs all the time, and he looks for higher doses to satisfy the craving, because it gets to a level where nothing satisfies him anymore, and he needs to go higher and higher and higher to get that high or that kick, right? Same thing for a porn addict. He keeps on chasing the dragon. What was pleasurable yesterday, what was pleasurable to view yesterday, is not pleasurable today, right? He becomes desensitized to the content he's viewing, to the content he sees. So every time he goes on, he starts looking for filthier, harder, filthier, hardcore porn, right? Until he gets to a point where what was disgusting him a few weeks ago is now what's pleasuring him. That's what happens, right? So the heart becomes conditioned. One of the things that happens is the heart becomes conditioned. Whether it's porn, so even normal movies, TV series, what's happening now, right? But in general, porn. The actors, we call them actors in inverted commas, right? Have multiple partners. Promiscuity. Promiscuity is promoted in all these types of things. Promiscuity means that you have, when you use the word to explain it, you have more than one sexual partner. Right? So promiscuity is promoted in porn and in the movies, right? And this, often in this type of filthy material, the act is engaged in by multiple people at the same time, right? So the heart of the porn watcher, his desire is for this now. His desire is to reach to this level. Understand this, right? And then, second thing, in this type of filthy material, generally, women are treated very brutally. I'm being open with you, we adults. There is a discussion that has to take place. Women are treated very brutally. They are abused and they are violated, right? These women are actresses. Remember that. So even if they are feigning, if they are feigning, in other words, if they are pretending to be pleasured, this is not the way that they would love, that they would have to, would like to be showed love. This is not the way. This is only because, this is only because of being paid for it. Right? So what, to the porn viewer, what was an act of love now becomes an act of animalism. Right? This becomes normal to him. So, the wheels come off here. The wheels come off here. When the heart is completely engulfed and immersed in the sin, right, then a person can't determine what's right and wrong. So sometimes the person says, right, I need to get married. Understand with a drug addict, if he's hooked on drugs, right, and he gets married, he's still hooked on the drugs. If a person is ill, and he has an illness, Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah save us, Allah Ta'ala grant all those who are ill, shifa'i kamila, daiman, ajilan, mustamirran. If you're ill, then you need to take treatment. Even if you get married, you don't take treatment, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't give you shifa, you won't be cured after your marriage. This porn addiction is a marad of the qalb. It's a sickness of the heart. It's a disease of the heart. If it's not treated, what happens is, Shaitan tells the single man, you will repent after you're married. Once he gets married, tries to. But if that sickness is not cured in his heart, then it kicks in again. So the wheels start coming off at this point in time, the wheels of the marriage. So understand that the more you see something, the less you react to it, the less your heart reacts to it. And the less your heart reacts to it, the more normally it becomes to you. This is what we call normalization. So the more you view this, the more normal it becomes to you. This is what your idea of normal is. So what happens? Your halal wife, who's given up her home, who's given up her life for you, for her children, she dedicated herself to you. She is not necessarily in the form of what you have seen in that material, right? You forget for yourself that you don't look like Mr. Universe yourself after you got married, but that's another story, right? You see her not looking like what you are used to, what you've become used to. And what happens is that it starts affecting a man physically. So we try to say this nicely. When the time comes, his body cannot rise to the occasion. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Got it. Secondly, what happens is the party is over before it gets started. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody understand what I'm saying? If you don't, you ask the person next to us. I'm not going to explain it here. Apparently, we're really being streamed worldwide. Okay. So that's what happens. Further to this. Now, your idea of what pleasures you, what takes you to that point of arousal, is filled. So what do you want? You now start forcing your wife to act out what you see. Right. It comes to a point where women will phone you and tell her, Mulana, my husband wants me to do this. Mulana, my husband wants me to imagine this. He is child. Last week there was a woman who deals with girls in a certain area. She phoned her four questions. I won't repeat them now. The crux of it is she told me, Morana, these are people who are sitting in your madrasas. These are ulama. These are people who are sitting in hankas who are asking their wives to act out these things. And the wives don't know what to do. Got no way out. Then you're asking, now Ibn Jahir, just to keep Allah here. You get a call where a lady says, Mohana, I want to preserve my marriage. What's the matter? Says, my husband threatened to divorce me if I don't engage in the act so that he, with someone else, so that he can watch it. This is where we go to, brothers. This is what happens to us. If that's where we've come to, your manhood has been ripped out of you. Your ghairat. I can't find the word for ghairat. Your ghairat has completely been ripped out of you. You've got no haya, no modesty, no shame. إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَا فَفَى الْمَعْشِيَةِ. You do whatever you want to. Haya has gone out of you, completely left you. Forget your body not working, your manhood on your body not working, your manhood in your soul has been ripped out, torn to shreds because of this. It goes to a point, brothers, where your workers are not safe from your harassment. You are 60 years old. You are a Muslim 60-year-old man, and your worker is not safe from your harassment. There's one word I'm missing before it. But brothers, your workers are not female. Understand what I'm saying? I take as a sum that this is not, I'm not making the stuff up as I sit here. This is the reality. You don't become like this by reading Fazail Ammah. You don't become like this by reading Hayat al-Sahaba. You become like this by getting involved in it. I'll say it now. If you have the problem, I won't say it like this. I forget. You need to get it sorted out now. It carries on through life and it destroys society. It destroys people. It destroys homes. It destroys marriages. Everything. Okay. So what? I might take a little more time. If you feel you need to leave, please do. I have no issue with it. Maybe I'll cry a little bit. I'll be a little bit sad. No, I'm just joking. If you need to leave, please. So what's the way out? Right. Firstly, never, ever, ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is there for us. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. When you read this ayat, it sends shivers down your spine. Not only people involved in this sin. Imagine all of us sitting here. We've got some sort of sin, whether it's outward, inward, everybody is sinning. And if you just think how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if it's not the entire non-Muslim world within kufr, the Muslims, us who are involved in sin, different types of sin, that Allah ta'ala has not taken us as us. The complete mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to my believing servants, my servants, Allah says, okay, these are the people who've gone beyond the limit. They are mine. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not ever, ever, ever despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala forgive everything. Never ever lose hope. People will write you off, Allah Ta'ala will never ever write you off. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. It is He, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will forgive you. غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He's most forgiving, He's most merciful. So that's why, get out of this. I'm going to mention a few things. You need to understand that the basis of it is turning to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the basis of it is, turning to Allah Ta'ala means tawbah, turning back to Allah Ta'ala. One of the, if you look in Sayyidul Istighfar, if one of the main points in Sayyidul Istighfar, wa abu'u bi dhanbi, and I acknowledge my sin. So the first thing in this whole thing is to come to the realization that I have a problem. You need to admit to yourself first that you have a problem. Right? Thereafter we can move forward on it. There are a few steps we'll just mention, inshallah, we hope not to be too long, which will be a guideline to try to get out of this. The first is ibadat. You need to engage in ibadat. Right? This happening inside of you is jihadun nafs. You're fighting against your nafs. Sometimes your nafs has got you in a chokehold. Everybody know what a rear naked chokehold, right? Everybody, now let's see. Your nafs has got you. Right, sometimes you've got the nafs. You've got the nafs in a chokehold. Right? Sometimes he's on top of you, you're on top of your nafs. Every action that you do assists either side of this jihad. So when you sin, it darkens your heart. It takes away the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It breaks your connection with Allah Ta'ala. And spiritually destroys you. When you engage in the ibadat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it strengthens your connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It inculcates in you morals. It brings in you discipline. It develops in you the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And over time, depending on what you do, the heart becomes shaped by the actions you pursue. So whether you do right, whether you do wrong, the heart becomes shaped by those actions. Right? So the reason why Islam, if you look at what gets spoken about, the five branches of deen, the first one, aqidah, the second one, ibadah, second one, ibadah, right? Why? Because Islam is placed very great emphasis on ibadat, because it's not just some form of empty ritual. Right? Ibadat is actually a form of great spiritual training. It trains the nafs, it brings the nafs under control. So the most important of these ibadat is salah. Inna salat is anhani al-fahshai wa munkar. This is the foundation. It is the front line of your defense. If your salah is not in order, if you do not have complete salah, just like any foundation, any defense, if it doesn't exist, if your salah doesn't exist, you are compromised. If it's got holes in it, meaning you don't perform your salah correctly, you don't perform all your salah, your defense is compromised. This is the first line of defense. You need to get your salah in order. 5 times salah a day, with jama'ah. Try for takbir ula in the first surf if you can, if you're suffering with this problem. Make sure your sunan and nawafil are also performed. This is the first line of defense. Yesterday we heard about the tilawat of the Qur'an Majid and how the gaze, the sight that Allah Ta'ala has given us is such a great ni'mat. If you use, or rather, if you don't use the gaze in the right avenues, you will start using it in the wrong avenues. So tilawat of Qur'an Sharif, looking into the mushaf, have a stipulated portion to recite every day, to make tilawat of Qur'an every day. You see, it is very simple. When we stop tilawat of Qur'an Sharif, then television came into our home. Right? That's what we started looking at. We left it completely, the televisions came into our hands. That's why we took it everywhere with us. So back again to Quran Sharif. If you're doing nothing, start. If you're reading, read more. Read more. Read more. Next thing of the ibadat is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned to the effect in the hadith Sharif that shaitan sits perched on the heart of Ibn Adam, right? The Ibn Adam. And when he's in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, shaitan retreats. And when he's negligent, then shaitan whispers evil whisperings into his heart, and this is where all the evil starts. So this, what we say negligence, is actually what we call ghaflat. Ghafil anillah. When a person is unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that state he's in. This is a very dangerous state. This is a state in which a person gets engaged in sin. Normally commit sin, because it's very, very, very rare that a person actually commits sin while he's thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely important. Firstly, istighfar. Man ladhim al istighfar, ja'ala Allahu min kulli dhithin makhrajan. Min kulli dhithin makhrajan. Wa min kulli hammin farajan. Wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. Allah Ta'ala, if you keep istighfar in your tongue, generally, you hold steadfast unto istighfar, Allah Ta'ala will make a way out of every difficulty for you. This difficulty that you're in, the doors will be opened. Durood Sharif. Abdullah Ismail Mawabi explained to us there, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Yusuf alayhi salam, he was ma'soom. He's a ma'soom Nabi. Right? And he said, this ma'soom who can't sin said, I do not trust my nafs. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِ إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. This nafs continuously tells me to do evil. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. So, Mawabi explained that when you recite Durood Sharif, there's great benefit for it. You get 10 rewards, 10 of your sins are wiped out, your daraja in the akhirat is raised by 10. One of the great benefits also is that the mercy of Allah Ta'ala extends upon you. 10 mercies of Allah Ta'ala extends upon you. So when you saw Yusuf alayhi salam said, إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, that I'm not able to get my nafs under control except with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Durood Sharif makes this mercy descend upon you. So engage in the regular Durood Sharif, Allah Ta'ala will help you to take you out of the sin. Thirdly, something that's not mentioned generally, food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Eat from what is halal, not only what is halal, what is tayyib, what is pure, right? What's the result? وَلَا تَتَبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. You won't end up following in the footsteps of Shaitan. Allah Ta'ala addresses the Anbiya, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. These are the purest people that were ever sent to the earth. Allah Ta'ala instructs them to eat tayyib. Tayyib. Not only halal. Halal is one thing. Tayyib means pure, wholesome. When the blood in your body is made from the nutrients that comes in the food, right? So that blood is flowing in your body, is from haram, from doubtful sources, then the actions that emanate are going to be the same. So try to stay away from junk food. Mother Hamid Saddam Barakat, we mentioned that if a child was born from while the father was enjoying zamzam, and then the sperm was made from the water of zamzam, of Medina, of Makkah Mukarramah, and you call him a Makki, right? And if the child was born through the sperm made from the dates of Medina Munawwara, then you call him a Madani. But if the child was born from the sperm made from junk food, what do you call him? A junkie. Right. So, check what you're eating. Stay away from the junk food. Try as far as possible to eat home-cooked meals where your mother is reciting Durood Sharif, Quran Sharif, all the time, a Muslim home. Those people cooking those meals, you must understand from one point of view, right? One is whether they wash their hands, really. That person who's cooking that meal for you at the takeout, he's probably, when you go with your family there, that meal probably costs more than what his weekly wages are. So when he's making this meal, he's making it with a very, very heavy heart. All this is transferred into that. Right? So understand the effect that the takeout food has on junk food. Try to eat halal for you. Right? Let's move on. Everybody okay? Just a few moments, inshallah. Just a few moments. So next thing is environment. There are three things that play a role in environment. One is the place, one is the people, one is the object. Yusuf alayhi salam, when the wife of Ali the Misr, right? When she tried to entice him. Everybody knows the story? Don't have to explain it, right? So the wife of Ali the Misr tried to entice him to do zina. And she said, Qalat, Haytalak. In our terms, I'm all yours. That's what she said to him. So what did Yusuf alayhi salam do? First thing he said, Ma'adallah. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately when this temptation comes to you, you need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to turn. Don't leave it to wait for a minute. If you leave it for a minute, you will get caught. Immediately turn to Allah ta'ala. When the temptation comes to you, this is the teaching from Quran Sharif. Secondly, Yusuf alayhi salam, he ran in the opposite direction. So what does this tell us? All the doors were locked. You know, all the doors were locked in this room, right? But he just ran. He ran away from her. He ran away from what in Yusuf alayhi salam said, I don't care where I'm running to. I'm just running away from the place of sin. And that's the teaching of this. You need to run away from the place of sin. Firstly, turn to Allah Ta'ala. Turn away from the place of sin. Run away from it. And then it comes in the kisah is that he ran and then she grabbed onto his shirt and his shirt dropped, right? This shows that he ran with all his might. If he was running easily, walking, chilling, right, then the shirt wouldn't have ripped off. But he ran with all his might to the extent that the shirt was ripped off. A portion of the shirt was ripped off. So here you need to put all your effort into turning away from the sin. Lastly, he cut off ties with the person who was going to get him involved in the sin, who was influencing the sin. Well, at that time, the wife of Ali is innocent. So from here, you understand that your environment needs to change the place. If your room is the place where you're going to get involved in the sin, make sure your phone is out. Firstly, the phone, everybody knows. The phone will get you. But if your room is the place of sin, keep your phone outside. Right? If you are afraid of telling your parents, you're shy of telling your parents what the problem is, tell them it affects your sleep. You sit too long on it. Keep it outside. Make sure it doesn't go with you in your room. If you are a person who is using it in the car, don't take it with you in the car. Right? First prize, get a dumb phone. Get a dumb phone, it saves you from all types of fitna. Right? But if you can't, then you need to have someone to watch you. You need to have restriction. You don't need to tell them what the problem is, but you just say, I'm trying to cut myself down. Please, when I enter the house, take my phone away. When I leave my house, or secondly, right? If you have a PC, a laptop, anything, Make sure you're using it in an environment where everybody can see you. You shouldn't be using it alone. Make up a timetable. From the time you wake up till the time you sleep, you need to be occupied. Even if it's in halal dunya, you need to be occupied. You can't have a time where you're doing nothing. Because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Understand? Shaitan starts whispering into you, starts getting you involved in the wrong. Then the second component we said first is the place. So you need to make your place, your environment needs to be made one of deen and one of halal. Even if it's not deen that you are engaging at that moment in time, it must be halal. So learn a new skill, maybe a halal hobby, something, but get yourself occupied in that time. Don't have time to sit idle. Secondly, people consist of two ways to look at this. One is that you need to keep the company of good pious people who will encourage you to do good. Stay away from people who influence you to do bad. Especially those who are involved in the same sin, who are addicted to the same thing you are addicted to. Because it just forms the fire, just gets bigger and bigger. You encourage each other, right? So you got to keep good company. Thirdly, isolation. For you to be alone with this type of addiction is not good, right? Also, why? الشيطان مع الواحد وهو من الاثنين أبعد. Shaitan is with a person who's alone, and from two, he's further away. In this type of addiction, you can't be alone, because your mind starts working, and you start getting involved in that which you're not supposed to get involved in. So try to keep around people, good people, right? If you need to be involved in an activity which is in isolation, make sure you don't have any objects or triggers which are going to get you involved in the sin, which brings me to the next one. Triggers, objects, right? These are things which will get you involved in the sin. And like we say, the biggest trigger today for most of us is the cell phone. Got it? So first prize again, if you can't get rid of the cell phone, first prize is to get rid of the cell phone, get a dumb phone. Brothers, it's not an overnight, it's not going to happen overnight. And there's no magic pill to take. This takes hard work, but with hard work comes great reward. Allah Ta'ala is with us. Allah Ta'ala will see to us that we come out of this. Right? So if you look at today from any form of social media, news, entertainment, magazines, right, it's flooded with content which is not quite porn, right, but it's not quite far off either, right. So it's enough that it's not considered explicit and cut off or flagged, but it's enough to arouse you, understand? So when you're looking at your social media, you're seeing fitness people, you're seeing sports, like the men watch women's sports, women's tennis, for the tennis, isn't it? Right. See, all of these things, they start looking at any fashion magazine, all of these things. Even if you look at sports presenters nowadays, right, women have now, because of female equality, women have now taken a greater role even in sports presenting, in football, whatever it may be. They don't ever put ugly women there. They don't ever put ugly women there. This is all part of the ploy. Just in between here, I mentioned. Almost all the pornographic websites on the internet are owned by who? Jews. Understand who the enemy is and what they're trying to do to us. By Jews. Correct? 100%. Do you know that in Israel, all pornographic websites are blocked? Do you know that in the Intifada, when they were, especially in the West Bank, they took over all the media outlets. What did they broadcast into the homes of the Palestinians? Porn. Why? Because they know if you corrupt the society, you blacken the hearts, you take away the love of Allah Ta'ala, you take away the help of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So they've understood it. And we're falling for it. And we're swallowing it up. Just like that. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The way to get out of these triggers, things that, you see, your porn addiction never just started suddenly. It went from one thing to the other, right? It was movies, television series, sport, social media, and then all of a sudden, something popped up and you started looking at this, and this, and this, right? So all of these things get removed how? By bringing the sunnah lifestyle in, right? If we bring the sunnah lifestyle in, you won't talk to your cousin, your female cousin. Intermingling of the sexes will no longer take place. Right? Because even if my cousin looks nice, still gonna attract me, isn't it? We're being honest here, right? You'll find, I heard the other day one alim saying that at these conferences where there's men and women, Muslim conferences where they have these conferences, and you'll find the young men sitting there, and as the women walk past, one will say to the other, 7 out of 10. 5 out of 10. This is the word, would you? I would. No, I wouldn't. You understand what I'm talking about? This is what happens, right? And this is in Muslim conferences. Your mother or your cousin is looking at, right? She's looking at someone else's husband. Oh, he's so cute. That's how they say it, right? What you don't realize is that auntie was checking out that woman's husband. This is all because we haven't got the sunnah lifestyle in us. Understand? So sunnah comes in, TV is gone. Magazines are gone. Social media is gone. All of this is gone. So that the triggers which trigger us to this are all gone. Last thing, brothers. Last thing. Give me 4 minutes, please. Yeah. All of what we spoke about is encompassed in this. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the nafs, Ibn Haji says that the nafs is like a beast. And the gateway to the nafs are the senses. The most important of the senses are the eyes. The eyes are actually directly connected to the brain. It's the only part of the body that's directly, or organ that's directly connected to the brain. Right, so what goes in goes straight from the eyes into it. When you feed this beast, it's going to devour you. And then you're going to lose your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nafs is very, very clever. The nafs is very, very clever. So we are sitting here. Nafs, shaitan will say, put something in. Like, shaitan is just throwing in the fuel. Nafs takes the match and lights it. Right? Shaitan will say, hey, there's a new thing happening. Right? You heard somebody speaking like that, or you walk so far, something on the billboard, or whatever. Nafs will say, let's go check it out. But nafs won't tell you. You see what nafs does? It rarely presents sin as sin. So sin will all, your nafs will always minimize the sin. It will always justify the sin. It will never make sin look like sin. So it will tell you, you know what, let's go have a look at this. But we're not like those other people who addicted to the stuff. We're just going to see what it is to understand, right? To learn. I just got to know what's happening in the world. So you go in. Nafs tells you, let's go learn. Let's go see. We're only going to see that. Finish. That's how nafs takes you. Gone after that. Right? So you need to shut it off. You need to shut it off at the root. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. What's the result? When you lower your gaze, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Your private parts will be protected. Qari Ismail spoke about one of the other cures, which was remembrance of mawt. So we won't go into that at the moment. Lastly, you need to connect yourself with someone who will help you. If you are really, really in a problem, you need to connect yourself with someone who you can report to, someone who can help you to get out of this. Right? We are, alhamdulillah, blessed in this country with mashayikh. Mashayikh who've seen the like of us, go past them hundreds of times. And they know how to treat us. Rather, you need to, this is an appeal, if you are in this problem, get help. It's going to destroy us. It's not going to destroy you. It's not going to destroy your wife. It's not going to destroy your children. It's not going to destroy your wealth, your property, your time. It's going to destroy the ummah and your akhirah. Allah Ta'ala give us the realization of this, guide us to what is correct, and save us from that which displeases thee. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.